Good afternoon to everyone, including those that are watching online. I'd like to ask you to turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Once again, Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. I will be reading some of the same verses, but not all of them, and a few others as well. Not only from this chapter, but also from the Gospel according to Matthew. But for now, we'll look again at Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. It came to pass that while they executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without a time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. The angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." We'll stop the reading there and continue on shortly. Don't worry, I'm not just going to repeat everything I said earlier today. We're going to cover different material. We're looking at some of the lessons from the life of John the Baptizer. And the title for the message just now is that it's okay to be different. That it's okay to be different. John was definitely different. We're going to see how. And because he was different, he was greatly used of the Lord. Because he was different, I want you to get that, he was greatly used of the Lord. Now, most of us, if we're honest, there's a part of us that we fight against being so different. We don't want to be different. We want to look like everyone else. We want to act like everyone else. We would far rather blend in than stand out. That could be partly related to your personality type. But most of us, we'd far rather blend in, stand out. But standing out in a good way is God's plan for his people, as it was for John. So the title again is, it's okay to be different. Now, we have to begin just before John's birth to learn, as we discovered in the earlier session, that John had a different start. John had a different start than anybody else. His parents were Zacharias or Zechariah and Elizabeth. And as you know, they were not able to have children. And I think that they had probably given up their dreams a long time before of ever having a child. Zacharias was a priest serving in Jerusalem, and each division of priests would serve for 1 week, twice a year. 1 week, twice a year. So he would spend a total of 2 weeks during the whole year serving in the temple area. Now, as a priest in the temple area, there were many tasks to perform, and they couldn't all be done by one priest. So what they did was they cast lots to assign each of these tasks. And this time, when the lots were cast, Zacharias was chosen to burn incense on the altar, just in front of the most holy place. And as was pointed out in the previous session as well, a priest was only allowed to do this once in his lifetime. If the lot landed upon you for this, that was it. It would not, if it landed on you again, they would go on to the next person. So here was Zacharias really performing what we might think of is the most significant moment of his life. What a privilege this was. And while he's performing this holy task, someone appears and nearly scares him to death. It's an angel next to the altar. And Zacharias starts shaking with fear, but the angel says, "No, Zacharias, fear not. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. I know we're going over material we've gone over before, but we have to realize just how different of a start John had. After the angel says a few things about the kind of person that John will be, Zacharias doubts, and he says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man. My wife is old too. Because he didn't believe the message, the angel tells him that he won't be able to speak until all of these things have been fulfilled. All of this has happened and his son is born. Imagine, again, having an experience like this and you're not able to share it with anyone. That was Zechariah. So that's how things started out for John before he was even born. You imagine what it must have been like to be him growing up? Oh, there's your... Oh, good to see your grandparents there. Not my grandparents. That's my parents. In fact, we just had a birthday party for them. How old are you now, John? You're 12 years old now? Is that what you are? Yeah, Dad, we're celebrating Dad's 90th today. What? I don't know if it went exactly like that. Born to parents who were old and past the normal age of having children. And he would have grown up in that atmosphere and people would have always been looking at him. That's so strange. That's a bit of a different start. And his father was a priest. Not everyone had a father who was a priest. John did. His father claimed to meet an angel. But your father's the one that claimed he saw Gabriel in the... That's your father, right? That's different. Not too many people meet an angel, let alone Gabriel. Zacharias did. And his father went miraculously mute. Right? Until he was born. Everybody talks about that story. See, he had quite a different start. You had a different start. If you're a Christian, you had a different start. Unlike so many others around you at school, at work, in your neighborhood, you have been supernaturally born again. Thank God. We were dead in our sins and brought to life through the work of the Spirit of God. God forgave you of all of your sins. And he has sealed you, the Bible says, he has sealed you with the promised Holy Spirit, making you his unique possession. You're different. Whether you like it or not, you're different. I think we all like it. You've been adopted into God's family. He has made you an heir. As if that weren't enough, a joint heir with his son. Jesus Christ. I'd say that's quite a different start. Is it okay to be different, brother? Is it okay to be different, sister? And we like that part. It's okay to be different. So John had a different start. But John had a different calling. Anyone? Look at verse 15. Zacharias is told, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John had a different calling, didn't he? So we're told he was set apart from the Lord from the very beginning. Even in the womb of his mother. Does it mean to be set apart, by the way? We use that phrase a lot. What does it mean to be set apart? Of course, the New Testament tells us that we are sanctified, and that carries with it the same meaning, that we as God's people are sanctified. We have been set apart. So you know what it means to be set apart. Those of you that have company over every once in a while, you might have a china cabinet. We have one. It might as well be an antique cabinet. Or we never use it, right? But it's there just in case, you know, somebody comes and we get out the dishes and we dust them off. We would have to. And we wash them and we get them ready for guests. They're there for special occasions. We have used them once or twice before, I think. And if you come, we really need to use them. If you come all that way, we'll use them. But most of us, we just use the nicer paper plates. Right, the sanctified paper plates. But we might... That's kind of the idea of being set apart. We wouldn't use these just for everyday occasion, but we will use them for special occasions. And we've been set apart by the Lord to be used for him. God had a special use for John as one who was set apart. He shall turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go as forerunner before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him. Now, John's calling, interestingly enough, his different calling, was spelled out before he was born and before we even have any of the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, the Lord's message. I am about to send my messenger who will clear the way before me. 400 years before there's a John, we're told he's coming. Different calling. And that, I don't know that we can prove it, of course, but I wonder if his parents had him memorize these words. John, that's you. Based on what Gabriel said to Zacharias, I think he was wise enough to say, John, Malachi 3:1, that's you. You are that messenger. You are the one set apart to clear the path for the Lord. That's what the forerunner did, right? Forerunner went ahead and removed obstacles. Any of you that are parents, you've been a forerunner before. Company's coming over, right? Look at the driveway. Bikes and toys and all the rest. And you've got to clear the path so that the company can drive through clearly. And maybe even in the house, there's toys in the hallway and everything. You got to clear the path. Clear the path so that people can come through without any obstacles in the way. Well, there were many spiritual obstacles in the way that had to be dealt with so that the people of Israel would be prepared to receive Jesus Christ, to receive Jesus as their Messiah. That's the role of John. And he starts to preach about sin. And he tells them that they need to repent. There's something blocking the way to the coming of the Messiah. He's clearing the path. What a calling. To be a forerunner, to be God's messenger, a man called to point people to the Savior that was just about to come. He had a different calling than any who came before. And now, in many ways, our calling sounds a lot like that, doesn't it? God's given us a message to deliver, and we are to tell people to repent and believe the gospel, to turn away from sin, to change their minds, and to receive Christ as Savior, the one who came once to die on a cross of shame and to deal with sin, and who's coming again. We're supposed to be pointing people to a coming Savior. Of course, we love to tell them why he came the first time. Maybe there's somebody listening just now and you don't know why he came the first time. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to suffer for sins, the just in the place of the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Have you ever realized just why the Lord Jesus was here? He came to deal with sin. And he's going to come back. He's going to come back and take those of us that have received him as Savior. He's going to come back and take us to be with him in glory in heaven. The Lord's given us good news to deliver to a world that needs to hear it. And like John, we've been set apart. We've been set apart. Since the day of our new birth, God has set us apart to be used for him. You don't have to wait for God to use you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, he's already set you apart. You're already sanctified. You don't have to wait for God to use you. You can start at it right away, doing the things that he tells us to do in his word. And these will certainly glorify him. And so God has given us as well a different calling. It's okay to be different. It's good to be different. John had a different start. He had a different calling. Number three, he had a different name. He had a different name. I want you to look down, please, at verse 57. We're still in Luke chapter 1. We'll look down at verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "No, not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There's none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. So John is born. No one knows his name yet, but they all think they know what it's going to be. And then it's essentially assigned to him that he's going to Zach Jr., Zacharias Jr., little Zach. That's got to be his name. It runs in the family. His mom intervenes. She says, "No, he must be named John." They say, "None of your relatives have that name. Where did this come from?" So a little back and forth with Zechariah, sign language, and he asks for his tablet, and he writes it down. He says, "His name is John." John means God is gracious. God is gracious. New age is about to dawn. The age of grace. Just at the beginning of it, we have a little indication that it's about to start. His name is John. God is gracious. But it was a different name than anyone was expecting. But how appropriate. Because he's going to announce the arrival of the one who is full of grace and truth. Let me just say quickly that you bear a different name now that you're saved. Now that you've been sanctified, you've been set apart. You have a different name. And you know what it is. You're a Christian. We are honored to bear the name Christ. What does Christian mean? It means Christ's one. One of Christ's. One of his. Thank God for one of his. So when people see us, did they say, "One of his. One of his. One of Christ's"? The people look at us, and did they see Christ? You might remember that later in the life of John, people thought he was the Christ. They mistook him for the Christ. Right? Are you the Christ? We might note that in a future session, people thought John was Christ. What a flattering mistake for them to make. People thought of Christ when they saw and heard John. Do people think of Christ when they see you? Do people think of Christ when they hear your speech? Well, we, like John, have a different name. It's okay to be different, isn't it? It's good to be different. Now, number four, John had a different look. So let's turn back to the gospel according to Matthew, please, to notice this, Matthew chapter 3. Just take a few verses here from this section. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Matthew 3 and 1. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah." Not only did Malachi write about him, Isaiah wrote about him, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now here's the different look. "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." That's a different look. Camel hair and a leather belt. I can see the leather belt. I'm wearing one right now. That's totally fine. The camel hair. But then there's something to point out about Luke 1 that we overlooked, and I'll hopefully bring this back very quickly. But it's brought out in Luke 1. The angel in the temple, Gabriel, said to Zacharias about John, "He must never drink wine or strong drink." Now, I think that Zacharias would know what those instructions meant. I think they meant that John was called to be a Nazarite. Now, in those days, a Nazarite was someone who took a vow to voluntarily dedicate themselves to the Lord for a particular period of time. fact, the Hebrew word nazir means to be separated or set apart, as we've noted before. Now, for John, this wasn't something that was voluntary because it was said about him before he was born. He didn't really have a choice. He was separated to the Lord as a Nazarite. He was a lifelong Nazarite. At least it seems that way from the text, and not just for a period of time. Now, part of being a Nazarite, as you know, meant following some unusual guidelines. And those guidelines are stated in Numbers chapter 6. A Nazarite was to abstain from wine or any fermented drink, and he was not to cut his hair for the length of the vow. It's a pretty long vow here with John. He's a lifelong Nazarite. He was not to go near a dead body because that would make him ceremonially unclean. But I just add that detail so that you can imagine John's look. Okay, you got the picture now? Here's this man out in the wilderness, and he's calling out to people, and he's different. I mean, look at him. He's got long, long hair. And he's dressed in a camel hair frock and a leather belt around his waist. That's quite a different look for sure. I don't know if you can pass with that today. Don't try it. And Luke chapter 1, verse 8, he says that he was in the wilderness until the day that he was revealed to Israel. What a revelation that was, even in physical appearance. Now, please don't go out and buy some camel hair, okay? But let me just say this. It's okay to look different. Don't take this the wrong way. I don't mean we should look strange, but we are told how to dress in the New Testament. I'm setting you up. All men and women should be wearing the same thing. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5 says, all of you be clothed with humility. Told you I was setting you up. That's a different outfit than you'll see in the world around you, right? Brothers and sisters, clothed with humility. Isn't it beautiful to see that among fellow believers? Just a humble spirit. There's so much pride, and there's so much self-promotion around us in the world, isn't it? Isn't there? God wants you to look different. That's what I mean by had a different look. I'm not talking necessarily about our clothes. We could say some things about that. But just he wants us to look different. And in fact, Paul has a lot more to say about that in Colossians 3, doesn't he? Colossians 3 and 12, he says, clothe yourselves with a heart of mercy, with kindness, with humility. He adds that in there too, just as Peter does, with humility. Clothe yourselves with a heart of mercy, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. What a different look that is from what's around us. Now, let me just add something else here too. It's okay to look different even in our physical clothing. We might need to. We might need to, depending on where we are and depending on the trends. Right? If the clothing trends for young men and young women draw attention in a sensual way, we need to turn away from that. It's okay to look different. It's good to look different. I just throw that out for you as a word of advice from a father of five. You can fight against it a lot sometimes. And this isn't modest. This isn't appropriate. And you need to think about how you look when you go out in public. So it's okay to look different. But the important part is to focus on being clothed with humility and a heart of mercy and kindness and gentleness and patience. So John had a different look. Number five, John had a different diet, didn't he? We read about that. Verse 4. His meat was locusts and wild honey. His look and his diet really stress a lack of self-indulgence. But the way that he looked and what he ate, it was just a very simple, basic life. Some might wonder why John looked and ate the way that he did, but I think there's another reason for it too. He's fulfilling the prophecy about him. He's fulfilling the prophecy about him. Again, we go back to Malachi. And he tells us something else. He says, before the great and terrible day of the Lord arrives, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Of course, Jesus tells us that John was that. I know how he wanted people to recognize that he was that prophet.
But he says, he will encourage the fathers and their children to return to me. That's what Malachi says about this figure that's coming in the future. That is Elijah the prophet. John is this prophet. So when people saw John looking the way that he did, they were to think of the prophecy in Malachi because they knew what Elijah looked like. You remember what Elijah looked like? 2 Kings 1 verse 8 tells us that he was a hairy man and he had a leather belt tied around his waist. Oh, okay. That makes sense then. Here's John with this Nazarite vow. He's got the long hair. He's wearing the camel frock. He's got the leather belt around his waist. So that when people saw him, they should think he's fulfilling scripture. This is the prophesied one. God's word is coming to pass. Now, as far as his different diet is concerned then, well, his situation, even with what he ate, was similar to that of Elijah. Elijah drinks from the stream, right? He tells the ravens to bring him food. God provided for him. And here's John out in the wilderness. What's he going to eat? God provides for him, provides for his needs. So when the people of Israel saw John looking the way that he did and saw him eating what he did, they were to think of this prophecy in Malachi. Even that was preparatory for them to listen to his message, to obey it, so that they may be ready as well for the Messiah. Here's the one that God is going to use to turn their hearts to the Lord. Now, I've said a lot more than just the diet there, but I do want you to notice we have, our brother reminded us earlier, we have a different diet, do we not? Brother Walker pointed that out to us. We have a different diet. We're not to feed on what everyone else feeds on in the world. Because you might have heard this before, I'm certain you have. You are what you eat. If you feed on junk, it'll have an attitude, it will bring an attitude that is junk, right? A lot of junk to feed on, isn't there? We'll usually notice that in our kids. We'll even notice it in ourselves. We'll say, too much TikTok. Or you've been doing that. What have you been watching? What have you been streaming? Oh, okay. And you'll even notice sometimes an attitude change or behavioral change when we're not feeding on that which is good for us. We have a diet, a different diet. It's a great diet. Brother Walker told us about feeding on the milk of the word, 1 Peter 2, right? So that we have to take it in order to grow, that you may grow thereby. We feed on the milk of the word. Hebrews speaks about the meat or the solid food of the word, Hebrews chapter 5, that we need to take in so we can grow and mature as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just ask you, what is your diet like? What do you consume in the course of a day? How much social media do you consume? How much media do you consume? Oh, it affects us. It affects us. Sometimes you get away from it long enough to say, I'm doing all right without it. Maybe I should be without it a little longer. And you get into the Word of God and you say, why haven't I been doing this? I've said this before, I'm sure you've heard others say it too. You know, the more you read the Word of God, the more you feed on the Word of God, the more you want to feed on the Word of God. And the more you don't feed on the Word of God, the more you don't feed. So go ahead and start feeding. And get that appetite for it going again. Because we are what we eat. So John had a different diet. It's okay to be different. Finally, I'll just point out as well that John had a different message, didn't he? What a different message he had. Verse 2, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 7, he talks to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, O generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's a different message. Nobody ever told him anything like this before. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 11, then he says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John had a different message. Repent. Change. It was different from the message that was spread by the religious leaders of his day. And they were already starting to get jealous about the kind of following that he had. All over the whole country seems to be going out and being baptized by John. We need to investigate. Who is he? Who does he think he is doing what he's doing? They didn't have a message like this. They were used to giving people commandments to keep that God didn't give anybody to keep and that nobody on planet Earth could keep. His message was different. He says, no, you need a completely different change on you. You don't need to add a few more commandments to your ever-growing list. There needs to be a change internally of the heart. Repent. Repent. The people needed to repent. They needed to repent because they had become like the nations around them. The priesthood was corrupt. The Pharisees were hypocrites. And nearly everyone else was far away from God. So John's message was repent, change. Well, we certainly have a different message. We might even have a different message from other so-called Christian churches. You might go to a church and hear that, God wants you healthy. And God wants you wealthy. Just make sure you make us wealthy first. What a sham. There are places that it's not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. A feel-good message, a you can do it, pat yourself on the back gospel, a prosperity gospel. No. None of those. We've been given a different message. And we have to be willing to tell people hard truths, right? To stand up and say, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we are broken. We can't fix ourselves, that we are facing judgment and we need a Savior. John was faithful to warn the people that there's such a thing as unquenchable fire that is in your future. You need to repent. God wants us to take this message of repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the lost people in this world, because we know what that message can do for them. It's done it for us. It's a different message. John also, he didn't just tell them to repent, but he told them that Christ was coming. Christ was coming. One who, he wasn't even worthy to get down and unloose a strap of his sandal. That was considered the lowest thing a slave can do. He says, I'm not even considered worthy to be. He tells people about Christ that was coming, who was coming. Of course, what makes our message so different than any other message is what John's name means. God is gracious. Grace. We're living in an age of grace. The gospel is good news because of God's rich grace. And we're privileged to tell people that Christ died for our sins, that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for our iniquities, that the punishment to give us peace was placed on him, and that with his stripes we are healed. And all who put their trust in him receive everlasting life. There's no message like this. There's no message like this. We have a different message, and it is absolutely okay. It is good to be different. So are we sharing it with others? Are we ashamed of the message? Do we live the message? Do we spread the message? Don't be ashamed. My brother, my sister, don't be ashamed who you are in Jesus Christ. You had a different start. Thank God for it. You have a different calling. We're not to live for ourselves, but live for the one who loved us and gave himself to us. And we have a different name that we bear, the name of Christ in this world who needs him. And we might even have a different look from people around us. We should be clothed with humility and kindness and patience and compassion and mercy. And he's given us a diet that fits us, that suits us to be the different people that we are. We feed upon the precious word of God. And he says, and I want you to spread this different message. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lo, I am with you always. Tell people that they're lost and sinful, but if they come and trust Jesus Christ, he will forgive them. He will save them. He will give them eternal life, just as he did us. Brothers and sisters, it's okay. It's more than okay. It's good. It's good. It's God's purpose for you and for me to be different. May the Lord bless you.